Father, would you bless the words that I speak? Would Jesus Christ be glorified and the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds? In Jesus' name, amen. So on Tuesday, I was doing a 10-mile run and got about halfway through, turned the corner, and all of a sudden, the wind was just straight against my face and it was like running through treacle. And that was the section of the run with all the hills. And so by the time I was towards getting home, I was thinking on the words of Jesus I was preaching on today. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. And I thought, yes, Lord Jesus, my legs are weary. I need some rest. He didn't answer. And I, you know, had to go home and have a shower and rest and walk funny for a day, and then everything was fine. That's not what Jesus was talking about in his passage today. He's not talking about our physical exhaustion from exercise, something which you can just recover from with a nice shower and some sleep. He's talking about a much deeper tiredness and weariness and burden that we all carry, the kind which makes us go, I don't just need a good night's sleep, I actually need a holiday. And by a holiday, I don't mean a week off where you shift 2 tons of gravel and paint a bathroom because they're the jobs that your parents have asked you to do. Can't imagine anyone in that situation. I mean a real holiday. Rest, relaxation, peace and quiet. I think we all often feel that we need a holiday because life itself is just so full of unrest, of the opposite of resting. It's filled with anxiety and fear and doubt. Let's look at this year so far, and we're only in March. Does anyone still remember all the panic at the start of the year about possible World War III breaking out between Iran and Russia and America and all of that which was on the news? Then we had the multiple strong storms causing havoc and flooding and damage to our homes. And now we've got the coronavirus, a very real panic and fear that that is causing. Thousands have already died. Let's face it, most likely around the world, millions are going to die. Panic and fear, anxiety. All of that after spending 4 exhausting years hearing nothing apart from Brexit and elections. The list just goes on. And then, of course, you've got all the stresses of your own job and the things you need to do at work and the pressures of the economy and how it impacts your work. You've got your own personal family struggles. Struggles within the home with relatives and loved ones. You've got potential loneliness. Or you've got too many people expecting too much with too little time. And that's before you even start talking about all the expectations that we place on ourselves. As a perfectionist, I do this far too much. I expect too much of myself. I push myself too far towards exhaustion and fatigue or anger, which you then take out on other people. It's enough to just make you want to scream. Life is relentless and it doesn't seem to really, truly satisfy us either. We seek and we struggle in life to be comfortable. But then there's always a bit more that we feel we want to truly be satisfied. A slightly bigger house or a house in a slightly different place. The new phone that came out, a new diet that you think is going to achieve all of your dreams, but you have to subscribe for some ridiculous amount of money to a magazine. And so we all struggle for more money so we can pay for those comforts. Sometimes we instead get the pressures of seeking our meaning in personal beauty and our own health and fitness and longevity, but those fade. Or our personal achievements, and we collect achievements through our lives. But then, as we age or we get sick, those achievements become out of reach. And we start to lose our purpose as we fall short. Or we seek our meaning in relationships, which are wonderful things, but even they bring their own stresses. Thinking of my brother and his now heavily pregnant wife, and he says, "I'm just exhausted. I'm exhausted." I'm thinking, yeah, imagine what she's feeling. So much worry that they're carrying at the moment as well over schools and over their child who's going to be born in a month's time. Crikey, that's come round quick. And of course, relationships are wonderful, but they can break down as well, and they can be ended so very easily. Suddenly you get a diagnosis of cancer for your grandma or a loved one. Or this coronavirus, and we read the statistics of how many people are likely to die. And you think of all those people invested in those relationships and all the life and meaning those relationships bring to them. And yet those relationships are coming to an end. Life seems to be nothing but striving and struggling. We all need a holiday, and soon, because we can't keep carrying all of these pressures and burdens. And that's before we even get to the issue of what Christians call sin. The dark things that we do, or the good things that God asks of us that we then fail to do, and all of which brings us into judgment with a holy and righteous God who made us. The actions and thoughts and addictions we have which hurt other people, which hurt God who loves us, which hurt ourselves, and then sit heavy on our consciences, weighing us down with shame and guilt. We need a holiday from that as well. But all the airlines are closed, or they're getting halfway to a destination, and then they're being turned around. And in that time, Jesus says, "Come to me." Jesus says, "Come to me. Forget the airlines, forget the package holiday. You want real rest? Come to me." But who does he say that to? "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All. That's a wonderful word. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you're from, wherever you've been, wherever you're going, no matter if you're old or young, unemployed, employed, doesn't matter. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, and I will give you rest, and I will refresh you deeply." But who is Jesus that he can say this? Because did you notice that he didn't say, "Come to me and I might give you rest. Come to me and possibly you'll feel restful. Come to me, sign this contract and do points 4, 5, 6, 8 and 10 and then I'll give you rest." He simply says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Who is he that he can claim to do such a thing? Verse 27 of Matthew 11. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." That's God the Father. "And no one knows the Son intimately except the Father. And no one knows the Father intimately except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Who is Jesus that he can make these promises of rest? He's the only way to the Father, who can provide that rest for all eternity. He's the one to whom all things have been given. All things. Do you want to go to heaven and live everlastingly in joy and peace with no sickness and no sorrow? Jesus is the only door. Do you want to feel clean? And I don't just mean how clean our hands feel at the moment with the amount of washing that we're doing of them. I mean truly clean. Jesus is the water of life. Do you want to feel safe in this uncertain world? He's the shepherd of the sheep who protects them from those who would break in and steal, and from the wolf and the lion. Do you want to be healed of the sin that's been weighing you down and you've been hiding from the world with shame. He's the great doctor of our souls. Do you want peace? He's the Prince of Peace. Are you hungry for just more of life? However old you are, whatever stage of life you're in, you just think, I just want more life. I want my life to be filled to the brim with life overflowing. I don't want to hunger for more life. He's the bread of life who leaves us fully satisfied, and then there's bread left over for more. He's the Lord of all. He's the only God and way to salvation. He's the only way to rest. He says, come to me, the Lord of all things, and I will give you rest. How? We know who he is, but how is he going to give us this rest? He gives it to us because 2,000 years ago, God was born in a stable, in a manger. God became one of us. He knew weakness, he knew fatigue, he knew temptation, he knew stress, he knew tiredness and anxiety and fear. He knew all those things. He lived through them. But he never sinned. He never sinned. And then he went to the cross and he was killed for our sins. In our place, the judgment we deserve was given to him. And there he took our shame, our fears, our anxieties, and he put them to death in himself. And he said, if you believe in me, if you come to me and believe in me, I'll give you my perfect sinless record so you can have a relationship with the Father, so you can go to heaven, so you can know peace and you can know joy for all eternity. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead and said, you know what? Even death, that great enemy of the world, that thing we're hearing so much about today on the news, death itself, no more power. No more fear of death. Believe in me and this resurrection, it's yours. Eternal life. No more fear, no more guilt, no more shame, no more anxiety at life. Jesus says, come to me and believe. Just believe. Put your faith in me as Lord and God and Saviour. And I will give you that rest. But what then? What happens when he's given us this rest? We're still living in this very unrestful world. Verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The truth is that we all serve a master, or lots of masters. We might serve money and comfort, and they're what we place all of our hopes and dreams into, or fame or beauty or friendships and people thinking good of us, or we place and serve our wives and our husbands, our lovers, being liked, our achievements. But all of those things, many good in themselves, are cruel masters. Because as I said earlier, they're never going to satisfy. There's always going to be more. Or they can be taken away so easily. Jesus says, forget those worldly masters. They're going to enslave you. Instead, why don't you take my yoke? The yoke is like a collar that a slave would wear or a servant would wear to show that they have a master. He says, take it. Take it from me. Hand over your entire life into my hands. Place your life with me. Learn from me, because I'm good. And I'm kind and gentle and loving, and I keep my promises. Do that day by day, week by week, year by year, and you will find true rest for your souls. Jesus gives us rest by the cross and resurrection, a promise that all of our anxieties and fears and shame and guilt are finished. What great joy. But we find it daily in following him. 1,700 or so years ago, in Alexandria and across the Roman Empire, there was a plague. It killed over a third of all people. That makes the numbers we're seeing today of 1 to 3% seem pretty small compared to 33% of all people dying. Non-Christians were kicking their loved ones out onto the street and leaving the cities. But the Christians, they stayed. And they ministered to Christians, and they ministered and cared for non-Christians. And it was seen as a great turning point in the history of Christianity, because all of a sudden, the pagan Romans went, these people are doing something remarkable. We're discarding our loved ones. They're serving them. But they did that because they didn't fear death. They didn't have that anxiety ruling their lives. There's Christians who meet and worship in war zones as bullets fly and bombs drop. And there's Christians who go into war zones to do ministry and to share the gospel and bring peace. There's Christians who meet together on this day in churches around the world where their names have been taken by the government and they risk jail or even worse. Places like China, where Christians are doing so much to help fight coronavirus, and yet if they meet together, they risk being jailed. Places like Saudi Arabia and Iran and Afghanistan and Mali and all around these kind of places. But they still meet with great joy because they've found rest. One of the great turning points in my life was when I went to Uganda. I'd been a Christian for years. I was training for ministry. I was training to be a minister. And yet I knew nothing, hardly, of the joy and the peace that can be given through Jesus. And I went to Uganda and I saw people there who had nothing. Didn't even have food for the next day. People who had no jobs, who had no livelihood, people who should have been broken, should have been disheartened, should have been weeping sorrowfully. And yet they had more joy than I had seen in my entire life. And they should have had anxieties and worries and burdens, and yet they were free. More free than I've ever managed to be. And I came home from Uganda thinking, Lord, what was it? What was it that gave them that joy and that freedom and that peace when they had no reasonable reason to have it? And of course the answer is, they had Jesus. They'd repented of their sin, and they'd handed their entire life into the hands of the God who rules all things. And if they got food, praise the Lord. If they didn't, praise the Lord. If the bandits came to the village and killed people, praise the Lord. If they didn't, praise the Lord. Whatever it was, our lives are in his hands and we'll seek to serve him. Remarkable. But it can be yours, just as it's become part of my life. Jesus, who alone reveals God the Father, today says to each of you and says to me, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe you need to find that rest for the first time ever. And all your life you've been needing desperately for this holiday. Jesus says, come and I'll give it to you. Maybe you're already a Christian and you've tasted that rest, but it's just not real in your life at the moment. And you need to refocus your eyes on Jesus and hear those words and trust and place your lives back into his hands more fully. To you, Jesus also says, come and I will refresh you. It's an open invitation to all people, myself included, and it's one which we should listen to every day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us your Son Jesus to show us the way to you and a relationship with you, to show us a way to heaven and the resurrection to eternal life, the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in these times of darkness, and stress and worry and anxiety and fear dominating societies and our own lives, our own struggles and our own worries, Lord, would you speak those words to us today? Those comfortable words. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, let it be so in our lives. Amen.